Joining me now on the phone is Democratic State Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch, Democrat from Hillside. He is chairman of the House Executive Committee. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Rick, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Can you give us an idea of what's going on out in your western suburbs?
Yeah, since about 3, 4 o'clock, there's been a lot of things shut down. I live in Hillside, and the Target strip mall, not too far from my house, has been shut down since about 3, 4 o'clock. Streets to get in that area are entirely shut down, and that's because we had heard that looters who were over in the North Riverside Mall area were headed west. Also, Walmart and Forest Park, which is my district, and then just west of me, the Oak Brook Mall was closed and guarded heavily by police, and the Walmart in Villa Park. So there's a lot of protections being taken place out here, and I will tell you, the message is being lost because of looting. Mm-hmm. Protesting and First Amendment right is definitely something that we should all encourage, but this looting is it's just nonsense, and folks need to knock it off.
Yeah, I harken back to what the mayor said earlier today and talking about how it's hijacking the protest, hijacking the message.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do believe, based on what we're seeing and hearing, that a lot of what's happening is happening by folks that don't even live in our city. There are legitimate protesters who, for a couple of hours each day, have marched and got their message out. And then the marches have been hijacked by those with an ulterior motive.
And, I've struggled with this because, as a white kid from the suburbs, and there's that inherent white privilege that, I grew up with. And it's hard for me to put into words what I can just imagine to be the feeling of when you see, that video of George Floyd in Minneapolis and the subsequent outrage and what a catalyst that was for so many. So many over so long a period of time, and now to see national protests, but then you see the national protests are turning the same way that the protests did here in Chicago last night. And
what folks have to realize, Rick, is that this is anger that is built up over time. So many black unarmed people have been killed at the hands of bad police officers, and let's emphasize bad police officers, because those are the ones that are making all the good ones look bad. And what the issue is as Dr. Martin Luther King said in the 60s, when you see protests and riots like this, it's because people have not been heard. And in this case, people have not been heard because they want justice and they want equality. The fact that everyone has seen that 10-minute video of this officer with his knee on George Floyd's neck, and only one of the officers has been arrested and charged with anything, and I'm afraid until those other three get charged, you're going to continue to see these protests day after day after day. People want justice. Those officers have to be charged, convicted, and sentenced, because we want justice in this country for the deaths of unarmed black men.
Yeah, and I mean, even when there was another video from behind, which shows three of them all kneeling on George Floyd, and it stuns me. And you're right, it's bad police, it's bad policing, and it's the ones that make the rest of the police look bad. But we've seen there, and I don't know what the mindset is for all of these killings, police shootings of unarmed African Americans. I don't know what that mindset is in these bad cops.
Unfortunately, in this very divided country that we live in, we have a person in the White House that does not understand that words matter, especially the words coming out of that office. You need someone who's a healer in chief and not a divider in chief. And there's people that buy into that division. And it gives those who already have the tendencies to be bad to be bad. And in fact, many to be worse. That officer, if you watch that video, he could care less. In broad daylight that he was being videotaped and could care less that this man was crying out for his dying mother. And that is someone who just did not care. And those are the types of officers, you know, you're not going to be able to reach them no matter what kind of training you give them.
That's what I wonder, because everybody talks about, you know, training and new types of training and training to teach trust. I mean, laudable goals, but does it make a difference?
Absolutely not. You can't train someone not to shoot someone in the back 16 times like we saw in the Laquan McDonald video a few years ago. You can't train someone to not put their knee on someone's neck for 10 minutes, for any minute. It's just inappropriate. And the fact that three other officers stood there and did nothing, particularly while bystanders were trying to get them to act, just showed the lack of attention to a person's life, the lack of care for that person's life.
I know we're in the immediacy of the moment, but do you think maybe if we took a step back here and again look not at the rioting but look at the protests and the peaceful protests, that this might give some kind of enhanced efforts towards trying to deal with various aspects of inequality in Springfield?
You know, we say that and we hope that after every death of an unarmed black man, this is why you see the anger that you see out here in these streets, not just in Chicago, but all across America. And I think until these issues are seriously addressed, not just in Springfield, but in state capitals all across the country and in D.C., you know, people are going to continue to get more and more angry. In the age of social media, when these things are now out there and can be played on loop after loop after loop, when folks, you know, have... It's been ingrained in them when, as kids, when they stood for the Pledge of Allegiance and believed the line at the end that justice for all. When you believe that and you see that all these injustices actually exist year after year, people are going to get more and more angry unless we bring about systemic change in this country.
We're speaking with Democratic State Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch from Hillside. He's the chairman of the Illinois House Executive Committee. Mr. Chairman, please hang on. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the WGN Skyline studio. And joining me on the phone is the chairman of the powerful Illinois House Executive Committee, Democrat from Hillside, State Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch. And Representative, I want to absolutely, because I know I made the mistake once that you would, I thought you were still on the Higher Ed Committee and you had moved on to run the powerful House Executive Committee. And truly, you got a lot of face time in Springfield in that brief pandemic-driven session. Obviously, I was working from Chicago on it from afar, but it looked like a very strange circumstance with going on in the old Prairie Capital Convention Center, the Bank of Springfield Center.
Yeah, it was definitely unprecedented. I will tell you, it was not like any other session or end of session that I'd ever been through before, and probably will never be through that again. So we definitely lived through history last week, and you know, I was excited to be there to do the work of the people, and I think we did a good job of addressing many of the issues. You know, it wasn't perfect, but we got a lot done.
Well, I mean, was it hard to, given issues like social distancing and wearing a mask, at least most wore a mask, than the one who didn't got booted and decided to show up again.
Honestly, it wasn't hard at all, Rick. I mean, we went to work every day. We followed the house rules to wear face coverings. Even the one that ended, was booted the first day came back the next couple of days and followed the house rules. We got the work done.
Yeah, but I mean, in the normal sense, there's always a bit of schmoozing and camaraderie and all of that, which, you know, this seemed to be a much more kind of antiseptic type of a process.
Well, you know, we are all type A personalities in this type of space, and you do like to be a little bit more friendly and hug and kiss folks on the cheek type of thing. But, you know, this COVID-19 crisis has changed that, and I think that's going to change people's behavior for months and years to come. It's just something to be mindful of going forward, especially, you know, come the fall, we're going to be in flu season. You're not going to know if this is the flu or if it's COVID-19. I think it's important that folks have had to change their behaviors.
I noticed that one of the things that was scheduled to be voted on and then it got pulled due to opposition was the concept of remote voting. And I was curious about your thoughts on it. I mean, one, you know, I can understand the desire among some lawmakers to want to, you know, show that they're working for their district, for their constituents, and making the effort to go to Springfield and do legislation. But at the same time, you know, people were citing, well, the legislature met when there was the Spanish flu in 1918. Well, we didn't necessarily have the communication skills or technology that we do now. I was curious about your thoughts on that whole debate.
Well, you know, I actually voted for the bill when it had the remote legislation in it. And that was because I'm sensitive to my colleagues who I've talked to over these last couple of months that have, you know, underlying conditions. And not everyone was completely comfortable with being there. And I think that at least that option should have been available and made people a lot more comfortable. Personally, I enjoyed being there with the guidelines that were put in place and made sure that everyone would follow them. I enjoyed being in the space and being able to talk to people and negotiate right there in real time. I do feel like you lose something in all the Zoom meetings and conference calls. And there's just something about type A people being in even if it's just 6 feet apart, being able to communicate with each other, and you can get a lot of things done. And there are a lot of things that our friends on the other side of the aisle raised that were actually addressed because they raised good points. And I think doing that virtually probably would not have happened.
Well, obviously, number one was getting a budget done.
The other side didn't help with that.
No. I understand. But I mean, to me, that was a significant achievement. I frankly,
absolutely,
I did not expect the chambers to finish. Granted, it went four plus days instead of three, but I did not expect to finish just because of all of the great uncertainty that still exists out there about how much money is the state going to have, how much are we going to get from Washington, if any. We've got the $5 billion borrowing from the Federal Reserve going on. I mean, just the uncertainty, I would have expected that we'd possibly see the legislature back in session.
You know, a lot of folks did not understand the amount of work that we had been doing from home. The House and Senate had several working groups that were bipartisan working groups and were meeting weekly, you know, preparing for a time when we would return to session. We didn't know when we would return, but we were preparing for if and when that would happen. And so proper planning prevented poor performance in this instance. And we got there because we had a plan in place. We were able to execute, and we have a budget. And I think that, you know, we have to give kudos to the governor and the leaders, both the Democrats and the Republican leadership, because this state can't go ever again without a budget. And now under Governor Pritzker, we've had two budgets in a row. Again, this ain't pretty. It's not the best. But what we couldn't afford to do was have this state go without a budget and have a step back when actually this is the time when folks need government the most. A time of crisis is when they need government the most. And I think we stepped up and served in that instance.
One thing, too, that I was surprised at was the fact that the legislature was able to approve the tax changes that Mayor Lori Lightfoot thought was fighting for a Chicago casino. And of course, you know, no secret, every time you see a casino bill, it becomes the Christmas tree that falls over all the time. This one got through, and it got bipartisan support.
And I think that's because the mayor did the work. After the last regular session ended in May, she didn't stop. She kept working. She called meetings. I was in one of those meetings and several others, and she met with the Republican caucus. She did the work, and that work was rewarded. And I also want to say she stayed very disciplined, not allowing that bill to become the Christmas tree.
Right.
I think actually played in her favor. And I also think the fact that the Capitol bill that has been passed now the last 2 years is really dependent on that casino getting up and running. So I think the crisis and the hole in our budget when it comes to revenue that the comptroller spoke of earlier, I think timing played in the mayor's favor as well. And one thing I've learned in this business is timing is everything. She nailed it. People got to give credit where credit is due.
Well, I always thought that was one of the great features of the capital program, the infrastructure repair program, was the fact that revenue to fund it was reliant on Chicago casinos, because that pretty much kept it from becoming its own quagmire after all these years. And truly, you know, I thought Tim Butler, Republican from Springfield, did an excellent job explaining that this is not a bill for Chicago. This is a bill for all of us, because everybody's got a project that counts on revenue from that Chicago casino. Everybody's got a road or a bridge or a water project, something that is heavily dependent upon those Chicago casino revenues.
You know, the executive committee, I want to give a shout out to those guys, both Democratic side and Republican side, because we vetted every single bill that came through the special session last week. And I got to tell you, you know, we don't always agree, but I think the people on that committee do a heck of a job in asking the tough questions. And, you know, again, even when we don't agree on it, on everything, we get the work for the people done.
Well, and I'm curious, because again, you know, I'm watching it from on my computer laptop from 200 miles away, but there seemed to be a more intense sense of purpose on both sides than what you would normally find, in the General Assembly, that they're pretty much an understanding. We don't know when we're coming back. We got a lot on the plate. We got to get this going. And I mean, if I'm wrong, tell me. But I just got that there was a sense of dedication that you don't normally see.
Well, I saw that very early on. I think you're absolutely right. And let me tell you where I saw it. I saw it at the very beginning of session, when Republicans were also telling Representative Bailey he should wear a face covering, and he was bucking his own caucus. And that's because everyone wanted to be there, follow the guidelines, get in there and get the work of the people done and get out of there as quickly as possible. Saw that from day one. And even though they didn't vote for the budget in the end, they did vote for a lot of things that got done that week. And I want to commend my colleagues on the other side of the aisle for coming with a sense of purpose.
Vote by mail, a big thing as well, and one that I was kind of surprised that it still is such a bone of contention. Obviously, you have from the White House on down on the Republican side is opposing vote by mail, and the president even getting flagged by Twitter for saying that voting by mail is supremely fraudulent. To me, you know, given what we saw in March, it just seemed like a good idea to expand a program and get mail-in applications to as many people as possible.
You know, Rick, we heard today that 15 states are seeing their COVID-19 numbers actually increase already. We don't know what's going to happen in the summer. We don't know where we're going to be in the fall. But come November at election time, we need to make sure the election takes place and that it's safe and secure. And what this bill, it was just for the November 2020 election. We can revisit everything again next year. And what we wanted to do before leaving town was making sure that everyone wanted to participate in the process could do that and feel safe and secure. Nothing is going to change if you want to still go out and vote in a ballot box. But for those who need that extra level of comfort and want to vote by mail, that's what this new bill allows it to do. And I'm looking forward to the day the governor signs this and sending that message that we want everyone to participate in the process and feel safe and secure.
Well, and I thought, too, it was interesting that it makes it a school holiday, because after kind of the mess up with the Chicago Board of Elections in the primary with privately owned places that were counted on for polling places where those private owners pulled the plug on them, it really created quite a conundrum.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of those features that I hope in when we return for regular session in 2021 that it stays around. I mean, I've supported Election Day being a state holiday from day one. And let's see how well it works in November. And if the data supports it with turnout, I hope we keep it going.
Does it favor any party?
I don't think so. I think turnout, you know, works on both sides of the aisle. You know, you get out and get your message out and get your people to the polls, and they have plenty of time to do it because the entire day is a state holiday. No one should complain.
Very good. Very good. Democratic State Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch, Democrat from Hillside, Chairman of the House Executive Committee. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Rick, always a pleasure. Thank you, friend.